We're going to have a come to Jesus moment. Hit it. It's Thursday, November 4th, 2021. Episode 065. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, it's my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Yeah, it's been another quick week.
Yes, indeed. I think I must be enjoying life way too much because I've been saying that for maybe the past month or two.
Yep. Take it. Oh, man.
Wait, did I hear you say that this is show 065?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean that our show could retire?
You know, if it was responsible and saved and everything, yeah, it probably could. It's been, you know, and it's got a healthy 401k.
Hmm.
Yeah. But if it's been an irresponsible show and wasted all its money as it got it and just lived paycheck to paycheck, he may have to go another 10 episodes before he can retire.
Yeah, I don't think our show would have been profligate.
Funny. Well, let's get on with it.
Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
What did the bartender bring you, Joe?
The bartender decided to switch it up a little bit. So I had, I was going to have my standard, you know, but then, like, Brian started getting all mouthy before the show, making reference to how predictable I normally am. And so I said to myself, I can't have that. So I decided to switch it up a little bit.
You have me in suspense, man. What do you got?
I got a shot of the Revolucion tequila, cut with some passion fruit juice and some lime concentrate.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. And it tastes like a revolution.
I'd be down with the revolution. I may have had this last week. I can't recall, but it's the S'more Oktoberfest from Polliner. So
is this another one of those beer of the gods or nectar of the gods, or if God made beer, this would be one of them.
Yep. And now that you're saying that, I think that this is what I had last week. Yeah.
Well, hey, I mean,
tasty stuff.
Maybe you like it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Life should be enjoyed, not suffered through.
Amen. All right, so Ahmaud Arbery, I've not seen. It's weird that I've not seen anything about this on the alt tech sites that I frequent. Are you aware? Are they out of jury selection? Or I would think that if they were, that I would have heard about the trial actually starting.
I just heard something like just before the show came on.
Okay,
we went on the show where apparently it's going to be, they finished jury selection. It's going to be a mostly all white jury. That's going to be presiding over the trial.
Okay. Well, then,
to me, isn't all that surprising because of where it is in the country?
Well, all that white guilt, they're definitely going to convict these guys.
Like I said, man, in Georgia, and yeah, there may be a collection of people who think, you know, this makes perfect sense. All these folks, you know, reacted the way they did. Yeah. I just don't want to put it past them.
Like I said, maybe if they was doing this in a vacuum, maybe, but the entire world is watching this. I still see a conviction with maximum penalties. That's my prediction.
You're a much better person than I am, because normally it's the other way around. I'm like, oh yes, the world is watching, and you know, sunlight's the best disinfectant. Truth will prevail, and normally you're like, I don't know. This time you're like, I trust and believe the system.
Well, you know what? I said the same thing about the George Floyd, and that worked out.
Right.
So yeah, there's just some things. It's hard to get past. I know that people can just be willfully blind, but
people do it all the time. Yeah. So it's not to put that past people.
we'll have to see, but I'm holding to my prediction.
Good, very good.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm about to say, what do we have on tap today? But I mean, we're doing more than a few things differently today.
Yeah, we're gonna. So the audience knows if things end up sounding discombobulated, it's typically what we do is Joe sends me stories throughout the week and I collect them all, and then I go through and pull the headlines and maybe the first two or three paragraphs of the story out and paste them all into a document. And while that may not sound like, a lot of work, and I guess it's not, I've just been so busy with work lately that anything to reduce friction for me to do this show is better. And so what we're trying to do tonight is we're each just bringing stories that we want to talk about to the table. I don't know what Joe is going to talk about. Joe doesn't know what I'm going to talk about. And we're just going to just kind of take turns. We're going to freestyle it, if you will.
Hey, and, do you want to flip a coin and see who goes first?
If I had a coin, I would. Do you have one handy?
We're approaching a cashless society, which also means a coinless society.
Let me go first, because I have this first, I don't even have a story. I just have a headline, and that's all that I need. And the story is not really important. I seen this headline and I was like, that could totally be me. The headline is, lost hiker ignores rescue calls because they didn't recognize the number.
Huh?
Yeah. Some hiker got lost, and when the rescue people called his phone, he didn't answer because he didn't recognize the number. That's me, dude. I hate talking on the phone. So, and if I don't recognize your number, there is no way I'm answering. So I could just understand that guy's mindset, as stupid as it was. But I think I did read the story, and he found his way back to the main trail, so everything's fine. But I just love that headline.
I answer unknown phone numbers more often than not because of that. I figure opportunity is not likely to come on a number I already know.
Crazy. What do you got?
I think it just popped up.
Yeah.
You remember a couple months ago where the cop shot the hold up. Sifis charge stands for ex-cop who killed Dante Wright. So remember the police officer who couldn't tell the difference between their taser and their gun?
Yes.
And this is that person.
Okay. Well, see, she's, it looks like this picture. She's wearing orange.
Judge has denied a defense.
Sorry. Huh? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Minnesota judge has denied a request to dismiss the most serious charge against former suburban police officer who said she meant to use her taser instead of her handgun when she fatally shot black motorist Dante Wright. Former Brooklyn Center police officer Kim Potter will stand trial in a Hennepin court on first and second second-degree manslaughter charges in the death of Wright, who was shot after being stopped April 11th for a traffic violation. Potter, who is white, was initially charged with second-degree manslaughter, which requires a finding that she acted with culpable negligence and Wright's death. I think that's pretty clear that she kind of meets that standard, right?
Yeah, I think like we talked about, I don't see how you confuse the two. I mean, I don't think they're even remotely.
We might have, as the trial goes on, we might actually have to go and look up in the Minnesota Penal Code what exactly culpable negligence is and see if the elements are, because it seemed like by any reasonable definition, she meets that.
Yeah, she was definitely negligent.
Prosecutors later added a first-degree manslaughter count against Potter, alleging she recklessly handled a firearm and endangered Wright's safety when she put, when death or great bodily harm was reasonably foreseeable. I think that's true too. I mean,
yeah, this chick's in trouble. She should be.
Yeah, but do you think she's going to jail?
Is she in jail now? Like, is she serving time while she's doing trial? It looks like she is. She's that picture of her. She's wearing orange. Looks like an orange jumper. I don't know. She should.
He got to chill in an undisclosed location before his trial.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she'll do time, and she should do time. I mean, I don't know. They made the point of pointing out each person's color. So are they insinuating that this was a racial crime, or is it just some chick who screwed up or what?
I think it's probably useful to point that out.
I guess.
I mean, if anything, you see that at first she was charged only with second degree, and then later they came back and added a stiffer charge. That may not have been the case had Dante been, you know, John, right?
I don't know.
Worth noting, though.
Yeah,
we don't know. That's my story.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That makes me think. This is when there was that spat of white woman cop murdering black men. And you remember the case where the chick walked in the wrong place and then shot the guy in his bed.
Yeah.
Not in his bed, in his living room.
Yeah, at first I thought that's what this was.
What do you think is worse? So is walking into the wrong apartment after a long shift and shooting, you know, erroneously shooting the occupant because you thought he was a robber, is that worse than thinking you're pulling out your taser but actually being your pistol and shooting somebody? Like, which blooper would you rather have next to your name?
You know, those are I can't say one is worse than the other, man. Those are both just fucked up.
They're both pretty heinous.
I mean, I guess I would say maybe saying that you mistakenly went into the wrong apartment. I guess that's harder to believe than, okay, maybe in the heat of the moment, this chick was scared and just grabbed something and pulled the trigger. Maybe, I don't know. I doubt it, but still. But actually going into the wrong apartment and then shooting someone, that almost makes me think there's a story behind the story there that we may not have heard about.
And I'm sure there is. But this is the thing. This chick, there's no reason for her to have been scared. I mean, I think the guy at the time was being restrained by, like, two large cops. Mm. I mean, it wasn't as if he was, like, reaching for a gun.
Okay.
Or, you know, he was about to set off a bomb. There was no reason. She wasn't in danger, in other words.
Okay. Well, if that was the case, then... I withdraw what I said, and it's just too. I'd still say that drawing the taser, mistaking a taser for a gun, is more negligent than going into the wrong apartment and then kill. Like I said, I think there's more to that story. Is that over? Is it like been settled in its history now?
Yeah, she got like 10 years.
Okay. Did they? And so there, but nothing about a, you know, like a relationship between the two that went sour or something. Nothing like that came out.
Nothing like that came out. But I, like you, strongly believe that there's someone behind that.
Yeah.
Somebody's publicist was working overtime to quash a story or two.
Mm. Yeah. So. I've just taken for granted that everyone knows about the whole Let's Go Brandon thing.
What?
But I realized after talking to my friend that even if you've heard it, people may not be aware of it. And so I think like two podcasts ago, I actually named the podcast Let's Go Brandon, and you never commented on it. But are you familiar with the whole Let's Go Brandon meme?
I don't think I am.
Really? That is crazy. Yeah, so Let's Go Brandon is essentially another way of saying fuck Joe Biden.
What?
Yeah, so
that's a first for me.
That's baffling to me. That just tells me how just our news sources, how different they are.
Please do tell.
Yeah, it's, so here's how it went down. It all came from sporting events recently have been plagued by, you know, like when commentators are trying to talk about the game, like post-game or pre-game or whatever, like the entire crowds and stadiums would be chanting, fuck Joe Biden, clap, 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 fuck Joe Biden.
What?
And this is happening everywhere, football games, soccer games, just all over the place this is happening. And it was happening... while this lady from, I think, NBC Sports was interviewing this NASCAR driver named Brandon something or other. And while she was interviewing this guy named Brandon, the crowd was saying, fuck Joe Biden. But she tried to cover it up by saying, listen to the crowd, they're chanting for you something like, let's go Brandon. And a meme was born. Probably one of the greatest memes was born.
I just hope that you have a clip with cat in the background.
Well, Joe, I'm glad you said something.
Oh my God, it's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, let's go, Brandon. Brandon, that's you right. Told me you were going to kind of hang back those first two.
So it was even better that they clearly said it right before she said, let's go, Brandon. So,
unfortunately for me, I could not clearly hear that.
Yeah. I've got the video on joehigh.com if you want to go watch the video and maybe be able to hear it better. I'll play it again if you want to try it one more time, but
I'll try it.
Maybe it'll be better to just to go watch it yourself. Yeah, I'll try this again.
Oh my God, it's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, let's go, Brandon. Brandon, that's you right. Told me you were going to kind of hang back those first two stages and just watch and
so,
learn.
Yeah.
What did you learn that helped you there?
I don't know if that was any better. I maxed it out. It was pretty loud, but I don't know if it was any more clear. But
It was louder, but the areas where it blanked out, the last time it blanked out again.
Okay.
That just may not be happening for us.
Well,
no.
Yeah, you can check it out after the show. But trust me when I tell you that's how it all started. And so now whenever you see Let's Go Brandon, you'll know that that's code for, as I've said, fuck Joe Biden.
I've not seen the meme at all.
Hmm.
Let's go. Let me look at it. I've seen saw a story. See where there's a meme. There's people, anybody saying, let's go, Brandon?
I mean, it's all over the place. It's on T-shirts. It's people saying it. I mean, it's everywhere.
Wow. Like, yeah, I've not seen it very much. And the earliest reference I see of it is a day ago. Is it top stories? Let's go, Brandon. Yeah, one day ago, 23 hours ago. Day. NBC News. Huh. Within a day of each other, huh? On the same day. Yeah, I'm actually surprised that people haven't showed their hate for presidents, you know, like that before.
Donald Trump, anybody?
Bill Clinton.
I said Donald Trump, anybody?
I mean, like at sports stadiums like that.
Well, they love Donald Trump.
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, did you hear of any ass rallies at, let's say, you know, a soccer game, or were they like, yeah, F Donald Trump?
No, like I said, I think those people generally like Donald Trump. I don't know, but I think a better question would be, did we hear it with Obama? And to be honest, I don't recall. I'm sure that there was, but I don't know. Not that I can think of, though. But I mean, Donald Trump caught plenty of hate.
Oh no! I'm not saying that he didn't, but like, you know, I mean, this is a pretty creative use of public airtime. I don't think I've seen anything like that before. Like, you might have a commentator be like, oh, yeah, I don't like Joe Biden. Or I don't like Donald Trump. I don't recall hearing, like, an entire stadium of people chanting. Yeah. One guy on a couch with a microphone making a snide comment is one level. An entire, you know, football stadium of people making a chant is, you know, on a different matter of, a different order, so to speak.
Yeah, and this guy even won 80, you know, got 81 million votes. So.
So, my turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I think mine just came through.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon rattled by Chinese military push on multiple fronts.
Here we go again.
Okay, by Robert Burns, AP. China's growing military muscle and its drive to end American predominance in the Asia Pacific is rattling U.S. defense establishment. American officials see trouble quickly accumulating on multiple fronts. Beijing's expanding nuclear arsenal, its advanced weapons in space, cyber, and missile technologies, and threat to Taiwan. Let's see here. The pace at which China is growing is moving is stunning, says General John Hayton, the number two ranking U.S. military officer who previously commanded U.S. nuclear forces and oversaw Air Force space operations. At stake is a potential shift in the global balance of power that has favored the United States for decades. A realignment more favorable to China does not pose a direct threat to the United States, but could complicate U.S. alliances in Asia. New signs of how the Pentagon intends to deal with the China challenge may emerge in the coming weeks, from Biden administration policy's review of nuclear weapons, global troop basings, and overall defense strategy. Let's see here. Comment or thoughts thus far?
Yeah. No, my only thoughts is kind of what I pointed out last week, is that it's just we're getting a steady stream of these kinds of stories. That's what I find interesting.
Well, I mean, how long did it take to prime a public is a question we need to be asking.
Oh, you're right.
For anything, good for war, any policy. If you need to get people ready to do something they may not want to do.
You know, I think you nailed it. I think that's what's happening. This is just a different version of, like, the Gaddafi rape rooms and the Saddam killing babies and stuff. This is just another version of that. I think you're right. This is getting us ready for something.
Well, I mean, if anything, the idea that, like, you know, before, like, when I was a kid, when you think of China, when you thought of China, you know, you thought pretty much, you know, there are a lot of them, and Chinese food.
Yeah, which I had tonight before the show.
I mean, good stuff. I mean, and those Chinese, they got some things right. Yeah. Chinese food being one of them.
I hear people, I don't know who to believe. You hear some people talking about, I hear people say that, you know, they're calling China the paper tiger, I guess. And I kind of tend to believe that. But then again, they do have, you know, sheer numbers. But
and just think, like, you know, there are a billion of anything.
Yeah.
It means you're going to have a whole lot of really smart whatever it is.
You know, I still got to think, though, with all of this cage rattling, or whatever the term I'm trying to think of, saber rattling, I still think about how China controls the culture things, the cultural things like sports, specifically the NBA and Hollywood. You know what? I wonder how those two jive, if they jive at all.
I think China controls the corporate culture.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Hollywood, NBA. They have their claws deep into that. And what's also interesting is what China is doing in terms of its own popular culture back home versus what it's, you know, allowing to go forward around the world. So, for example, I'm sure a few weeks ago I posted a story about how they started all these clampdowns, and one of the clampdowns was on pretty much boy bands and, you know.
Yep.
Social media, like kind of like about the same time that we're finding out that Facebook and Instagram is bad for kids, about that time, kind of was like, yeah, we're clamping down on all of that.
Yeah, while at the same time pushing their TikTok app into our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But part of me is also like, yeah, you hear this, like, okay, how much is this like, you know, some guys at the Pentagon trying to scare, you know, a couple extra, you know, couple extra billion dollars out of Congress and the public.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's one of the things that it is good to note, and yeah.
I think I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think you put your finger on it. This is priming the pump for some future action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember about three, four weeks ago, I noticed an uptick of China horror stories.
Yep.
Now, I will note that some portion of that has been dialed back down. And I actually did some research and it indicated that apparently, a lot of the jets flying over into Taiwan airspace.
Yeah.
A lot of that is because it was approaching like the 50th anniversary of the creation of Taiwan, something like that.
Okay.
So, on certain like holidays or like anniversaries, you'll see just that. You'll see more saber rattling than others.
Yeah, kind of maybe like a bigger, more spectacular version of Kim Jong-un's you know, little parade with a rocket,
yeah,
and stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to, instead of just parading them down the main street in the Capitol, we're going to parade them across your airspace.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Simple way of looking at it.
Yeah. I have a story here, and this is kind of this story comes from like when it first broke, and I don't have any follow up. So this story is about, I was going to do this last week, but of course our show got interrupted. So this is probably from like last Monday or Tuesday, but this is about Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Shot and killed female cinematographer and injured a director on the movie set.
He's a bad and scary man.
Yeah. And I just... a tragedy occurred on the set of the latest Alec Baldwin movie where the actor reportedly accidentally shot and killed a female cinematographer and injured the director due to a prop gun misfire. Alec Baldwin fired a prop gun on a set in New Mexico on Thursday, accidentally killing cinematographer Halvia Hutchins and wounding director Joel Souza, reported Variety. You know, I guess I just don't understand. Is it a prop gun or is it a real gun? How does a prop gun fire bullets that can kill someone? So is it a gun that they just use? They just trust that they're going to put blanks in? Do they use real guns and just use blanks and call it a prop? Or I would think that a prop gun would be just that, a prop. Like you can't take, I don't think you can take a prop knife and stab someone to death. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I don't want to say every few years, but it's not. I mean, it's not as if this is the first time at
Brandon Lee.
Why are these people running around with all these live bullets on fucking movie sets anyway?
That's what I'm saying, man. That's how Brandon Lee died.
I thought it was like Bruce Lee.
No, his son. Bruce Lee died of, I think he had an ailment, but it was Brandon Lee. His son died from a gunshot, a gun that went off on the set of Crow. The Crow, yeah. And it was a big story because they had to finish the movie and they had to like digitally put in his face on the rest of the unlike a lot of the scenes because he died halfway through the movie.
Awful.
So, I just don't know how it happens. I mean, how freaking authentic do you, again? I have a pellet gun in the bedroom that looks like a fucking gun, and if someone was holding it and using it in a movie, no one would tell the difference. I don't understand how real guns make it onto a set and then end up killing someone.
Yeah. Part of me says like, somebody is recklessly negligent there.
Interestingly, so, this is a like plot.
Maybe the gunsmith.
Well, that's what they're trying to say. That's what they're saying.
Or the prop guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, this also made me think something else. Like, typically, I would have thought of Alec Baldwin as a pretty lucky guy. I mean, he was born a Baldwin. But yeah. Stuff like this happens, you got to kind of reassess that.
No, I feel bad. I feel bad for him. I mean, I don't particularly care for the guy, but definitely feel bad for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But one other thing I wanted to point out is that this scenario is pretty much a plot line on just about every procedural television show that there's ever been. It seems like they always have to have a plot line where something like this happens. I remember something like this happening on Psych, and I think something like this happened on Castle, where they, it's a great plot.
If you're doing a police procedural, I mean, how many he-done-its? How many ways can you have a he-done-it before you got to start getting creative?
Yeah,
it's fun. You got to start doing the whole who loaded the prop gun mystery.
That's funny. I don't really have anything else to say about that. It's just And like I said, that was a 2 week old story, so I'm sure that there's been some development since, but I don't know what they are.
I'm pretty sure, Alec Baldwin kind of gets the unlucky guy of the week for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
This guy just can't catch a break.
Right.
This week.
What do you got for us?
My next story. Let's see. Oh, here it is. You'd think that our public officials would be better about like keeping their mouth shut and just shutting up. Apparently not.
You would think.
Check this out.
All right.
Judge removed from office after allegedly saying George Floyd, quote unquote, got what he deserved.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Like, even if you really believe that with all your heart, why would you say that out loud?
Yeah.
Like, he had to know that, like, popular opinion was not on his side.
An Alabama court has removed a judge from office after accusing him of racist behavior and misconduct in the workplace. The Alabama Court of the Judiciary, a panel of 9 members, filed a unanimous order detailing concerns about Talladega County Probate Judge Randy Jinks' actions. The court's ruling followed a days-long hearing of testimony of Jenks' racist and sexist comments. just go all in. Racist and sexist comments that included him saying George Floyd got what he deserved. Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer in May of 2020. Called him just another thug. What's that? What's your question?
Like, I think I heard him saying, when I read through this earlier, I remember him saying the whole, Floyd got what he deserved. I don't recall him saying anything about a woman that was sexist. And so I'm beginning to wonder, is if they catch you saying something, racist, they just threw in sexist just because, like, you get one, you probably did the other?
Maybe. Jenks allegedly called Floyd just another thug and mouthed the N-word when referring to black people during racial justice protests. According to court records.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing anything about women yet.
Let's go further. Jenks told a deputy clerk that black people get benefits and welfare because of the color of their skin that don't go to white people, the complainant said. Wow. Court showed that Jenks denied most claims made against him by blaming co-workers for eavesdropping and misinterpreting jokes. I mean, I'll see here. Earlier this year, the state's judicial inquiry commission issued a 78-page document underlining 100 or more allegations of Jenks misconduct, which led to his suspension. This guy must have been on a friggin' rampage. Jenks, who does not have a law license, was first elected in 2018 and took office the following year. The court found that Jenks saw a new automobile purchased by a black employee in the probate office, and he remarked, "I've seen that car. I'm a judge and I can't afford a Mercedes. What are you doing? Selling drugs?"
As though every Mercedes bought is like brand new. You can find affordable Mercedes in this used car lot. Trust me.
Apparently, Jenks didn't know that. Mm-mm. Jenks also inappropriately tried to help a woman get early release from prison, a prison sentence imposed by a neighboring court.
There's the rub. I'll bet you he wanted something in return. There you go.
I'm sure he had nothing ill repute he wanted in return.
Nah, of course not.
Jenks denied allegations, and his lawyer released a statement to media outlets saying his remarks were taken out of context and viewed in a way that makes Jenks look as bad a way possible. The ruling can be appealed to the Alabama Supreme Court. What the hell is going on with judges in Alabama?
Yeah, dude. I want them to tell us what the context, what the proper context was that makes it not so bad.
And this is why I'm not convinced that there won't be a set of jurors in Georgia that could make perfect sense of why those three guys gunned down Arbery. But
if they want Atlanta to burn, go right ahead.
Well, I mean,
I want Atlanta to burn.
Why? Did you? Well, let me get. Wait a second. You're not a baseball fan, are you?
No, I'm still pissed off about the speeding ticket.
Yeah, okay, for a second I thought that you were making a reference because the Atlanta Braves won the World Series.
Yeah, right? I don't like the Braves either.
Oh, whoa.
But I'm more salty about the speeding ticket. And I still haven't sent in that super speeding fine yet. I have until like January something or other, but I'm waiting to send that in.
But the other thing was, isn't Alabama, isn't that the same place that brought us Roy Jones?
Who's Roy Jones? Oh, Roy Jones. No, that's the, was he Alabama too?
I'm pretty sure he was Alabama.
Yeah, he was a character, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was Alabama or Mississippi.
Ooh, Mississippi sounds right. Yeah, I can't get to my keyboard right now, so if you'll have to look it up if we need to know.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
Let's see here. It was Roy Jones, right?
Was it Jones? Roy Jones. I hear Roy Jones, and I think of a fighter.
I mean, it's probably a fighter, basketball player, baseball player.
Yeah, but like Roy Jones Jr. is like one of the greatest boxers ever.
Alabama. Okay, yeah, Roy Moore.
Okay.
Let's see here. Go back.
Was it Roy Black, maybe?
No, it was Roy Moore versus Doug Jones.
Oh.
I'm pulling it up right now. Roy Stuart Moore is an American lawyer, politician, and jurist who serves as the 27th and 31st Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama from 2001 to 2003, and again 2013 to 2017, each time being removed from office for judicial misconduct by the Alabama Court of Judiciary. Wait a second. So, if people like Roy Moore... This guy must have been really bad.
Something's in the water in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd they do? Did he just lost his job? Is that it?
No, I don't think he ever. I don't think he actually lost his job. He just lost the election.
No, I mean I'm back to Jinx.
Oh, Jinx?
Yeah, your original story here.
Let's see.
Are they not going to tell us?
I mean, maybe it's behind a paywall. That'd be terrible.
Hmm.
It's also because my computer's really slow.
Well, okay, I guess the first sentence says that the judge was removed. He was removed from office after being accused of racist behavior and misconduct in the workplace. Yeah. So they told us that right off the bat.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Supermarket Free Sample Guy.
Mr. Supermarket Free Sample Guy.
Though man dreads few things more than a trip to the supermarket, you offer us hope and sometimes a free mini weenie.
I love that freebie weenie.
What exactly do you have? Aerosol cheese products? Deep fried morsels? Who cares? If it's on a toothpick and it's free, it could be plutonium and we'd eat it. For a guy wearing oven mitts and an apron, you're all right. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light Titan of the toothpick, because you put the free in freedom. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The legend of the phoenix all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
going to dip in and listen to the governor of New Jersey, but more importantly, we've just made a call. NBC News has determined that when all the votes are in, Glenn Youngkin is the governor-elect of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He was able to piece together a victory, keeping Donald Trump at bay while going hard on state issues and not turning away all aspects of Trumpism either. But in the end, it was something like student and parent rights at school that allowed him, as a relative newcomer, to come in and defeat the one-time governor of the Commonwealth who was running for another bite at the apple. Terry McAuliffe, a fixture in Democratic politics going back to the Clinton years, goes down to defeat. This will be a big postmortem for the Democrats. We're waiting word from Youngkin headquarters.
Well, that got cut off, but yeah, I don't think anyone was really surprised that that happened. I think people was expecting it.
Well, let me first say I could hear very little of the audio, but I was surprised that Terry McAuliffe lost.
Really?
He's I understand he was a pretty popular former governor of Virginia. And he had all the typical things that you know, a candidate needs to win: money, name recognition, very popular associates, and stuff like that. So I was kind of surprised he lost.
He fucked up, though, when he made that comment about parents. He, and then doubled down on it. He just...
Made what comment?
The parents didn't have any business telling schools what to teach their kids.
Okay. What do you think about that statement?
I wholeheartedly agree with it. But two, I don't think it was a mistake. I think his only mistake was that he actually said what he thought, and I think what a lot of people of his persuasion think, that parents need to just, you know, give us your money, but you know, just leave us alone and let us indoctrinate your kids. And I'm happy. Everything's local. I like seeing these grassroots things happening. So, kids are the future. That's what they always tell us. And so parents, it's time for parents to get involved in what the schools are teaching their kids, because the schools are failing us horribly.
Well, that's a totally different, it's like several conversations wrapped in one right there. There's the schools are failing us, and then what the schools should be teaching. You think that's why he lost?
Yeah, I think it was that one statement that gave Youngkin something to beat him over the head with.
I think that the source of his loss is somewhat slightly different.
Okay.
I think he lost because the Democrats haven't done anything to really appease their largest and most significant voting bloc, which is.
I'm guessing black people.
Yeah, African Americans, DOS, descendants of slaves. Since Joe Biden got in office 9 months ago, have you heard of any anti-African American anti-hate bills that were passed?
No, and I'm gonna ask that you let me play another clip for you, if I could. To kind of to play off of that. It's pretty perfect.
Well, I mean, but yeah, I guess my overall point while you're pulling it up is that
sure,
yeah, the Democrats have neglected a significant portion of their base, and that's okay when you have somebody that you can scare that portion of their base with, but when that fear tactic is no longer there, and you don't do anything for these people, for their constituents, they don't show up for you. And so, I guess I was surprised that McAuliffe lost, because I thought that his connections with the Clintons and the money and the backing that he had, and the fact that he was a pretty popular former governor, would have been enough to get him through. But I was wrong on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when I first was made aware of him, was out of the Clinton administration. He was, I'm not sure what his role was there. I can't remember, but that's where I first became aware of Terry McAuliffe.
I think he was like the chairman of the DNC.
He was, yeah. But you know what? Black parents care about their kids too, and about their kids' schooling as well. I don't think, when I said parents were peeved, I didn't mean white parents. I meant parents.
Now, quick question: what did he say regarding, people conflate, critical race theory and teaching our kids to feel bad about themselves. Was it one of those things where they were conflating the two?
I think what this was about was, I think, as I understand it, there's a book that was written by a woman named Toni Morrison, and I think it was called Beloved.
Okay.
And some parents objected to its content. The story took place during slavery.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the book. I had to read in college.
Okay, but as I understand it, it has very strong sexual graphic scenes in it, and parents were, that was one of three books, I think, that parents were complaining about. The other book, one of the other books was actually a comic book that was called, it was something about, something about queer something or other. It was also very graphic and sexually graphic in nature, and parents was raising a fuss about it. And
if these parents don't like this book and that book, okay, that's a different thing, and I more can care less about that.
Well, okay, but I hear you. I know the whole critical race theory is a thing as well, but I think this particular thing was over legislation that they passed. The House or however the legislature passed a law that would ban these things, and McAuliffe vetoed it and said that he'd do it again, and that parents needed to keep their nose out of what the schools taught. So that's what I understand. Now I understand, but there is the whole critical race theory thing is always going to be there. And I'm educating myself on the whole critical race theory thing, but I'm not through with that yet.
I'm interested in your thoughts once you are finished educating yourself. But let's there's a critical race theory, but then there's the scenario which you just laid out. So mm-hmm. The school is teaching, probably English curriculum, and they have Beloved and some other books on there. But, these same parents were the folks that 50 years ago were trying to, were mad because friggin' the Diary of Anne Frank was being taught in schools. So,
No, you're not projecting again, are you?
No, I think I might be. But it seems to me that if you have a bill, if you pass a bill that says that you don't want this specific book taught. It might be useful to illuminate the audience as to what you're referring to about me projecting again as well.
I don't even mean projecting. I should have said mind reading. I don't know. You just on and off the mic. I've just noticed you've been very. You have a very. You think the worst of people when it comes to things, and I just kind of noticed that you. It just seems like you're reading. You're making assumptions about people, but you don't really know. So
now let's go a little bit further than that, because you call that mind reading, and the first time you made reference to that today was something we were talking about. I think the South Carolina death penalty.
Yes.
Squad.
Yes.
And your comment was that. My comment was, hey, you probably
people aren't going to get this without knowing the whole story.
Well, that's why I was trying to think that we should illuminate the folks.
I told you that I was reading a story about that featured three people who at different times had been. The people who actually carried out executions for the state of South Carolina. And I told you about, I had only gotten through the first four or five paragraphs, and I was just telling you that they was talking about this one guy who they described, they walked through how his very first execution and how it affected him. And this is putting words in your mouth, but the gist was, I don't feel sorry for him. He took the job and, fuck how he feels. So, to me, you implied that he was just some bloodthirsty guy who took the job because he wanted to kill people. And, because he was a ex-Marine and he fought in World War II and, he was familiar with death, and so I don't know. I just you took me aback when you just kind of took me you kind of took me aback when you said by your comment. I wish I could remember what you said exactly, but you was basically guessing what this guy's mindset was when you have no idea what this guy's circumstances was, what led him to do this.
I probably would have said something to the effect of. That's not a position that you kind of just found yourself into, that he probably volunteered for the position.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's what you said, yeah.
Yeah.
And but there's all kinds of reasons to volunteer for something.
Well, there are all sorts of reasons, and all I was really saying is that, you can't expect that you're going to have a job strapping people into their death and think that you're not going to be affected. That's all I was saying.
If that's all that you were saying, then I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. But, but you were making the point like, maybe he had a family and maybe he needed the money. And I'm like, yeah, even if he had a family and even if he needed the money, that still doesn't make it any... That still doesn't mean that he should expect that he's going to do that type of job and feel nothing from it.
Understood.
Yeah, so I don't think I was being overly harsh or critical there, or reading ill intent. I think you may have read ill intent when I was just saying, no, that sounds, you do that type of job, you expect to, come out with some scars. That's just a fact of life. This one, how am I being, let's see here, how am I being judgy?
What?
You said I was,
well,
I, and this story and the story you made reference to, I was mind reading again.
Now I can't even remember now what we were talking about. You got me. I'm sidetracked. I'm sidetracked on the other thing. Now I literally don't remember what led us to talk about this now. If you remember, go ahead and enlighten me.
It'll probably come up at some inopportune time.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Talking about how the Democrats haven't done anything yet for their ADOS voter base.
You're saying?
I have a clip to play that I wanted to get your response to.
So do you want me to talk? I'll just respond to it.
Okay.
Cedro, where we are learning about an effort to try to make good for the families separated at the border.
Separating kids from their families was never the right thing to do.
Now the Biden administration considering a way to make things right, they say, for families who were separated at the border. ABC 10 News reporter Marie Cornell joining us live from the San Ysidro Port of Entry. Marie, there have been talks about compensating these families.
Hey, good morning, Virginia. There are reports these families could get up to $450,000, though an official announcement has not yet been made.
I'll stop it there. That's really all I was interested in. No reparations in sight, but let's give these law-breaking brown people from the South half a mil.
Now, mind you, I did not hear enough of that clip to actually be able to speak to the clip. I'm just familiar with the story in general.
Okay, yeah, we obviously have a setup problem if you're not being able to hear anything.
I'll hear every fifth word.
All right, maybe this Discord wasn't the solution after all.
I mean, we had a similar problem last week where we got a lag for the first time ever.
Yeah, but until that happened, you could at least hear stuff. So we'll play around with it. But anyway, you're familiar with the story, so go ahead and what are your thoughts?
You've got these people who are making their way up into the United States and. Got caught up in the whole, family separations. And then, so I guess the Justice Department, as a way to settle this and make this all go away, is offering the families up to $400,000 per incident. Sorry, up to $450,000 per incident. And so the question is, you've got these Democrats who rode the power on the backs of the black vote. Getting to power, then during the 9 months in power, doing absolutely nothing for black people, but at the same time managing to do stuff for Asians, Hispanics, gay people, women, Hispanics again, and then I think what happened is you had African Americans, their voting bloc. Decided to say, why should we show up and vote for these people?
Do you think this is going to also carry over to the midterms?
There's no reason to see that it wouldn't. If things keep up this way, Joe Biden might find himself impeached by a Republican Congress and Senate. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I think maybe the only reason that he wouldn't is because of Kamala.
And once again, it seems like every time I hear her name, it's in not great circumstances. Dropping the ball here, embarrassing yourself there. Well, that just may be a function of, she pissed off the wrong tycoon, and so she just can't get press coverage to save her life.
Maybe I don't, but I know exactly what you mean, man. I just don't think she's a likable person, and it's, you know, rightly or wrongly, but I just think something about her rubs people the wrong way. I mean, there's a reason why she was, I think, one of the first candidates to get bumped from the primaries. You know, she's just not a good person. She's just not a good campaign person, I don't think.
She strikes me as that chick that, like, one of the cutest kids, women in the class, but their personality is just so stank. You know, you're like, ugh.
That's a good, yeah. Sense? That's good, yeah. That's actually pretty accurate, I think. She's an attractive, yeah. You're right. She's an attractive woman. Visually, she'd be great, but it's just got to be her person. Like, you know, it's her personality.
Even just listening to her speak, he's like, ooh. Like,
yeah.
Oh, goodness. Like,
yeah. So, what do you, I run two stories in a row, so, I'll throw it back to you. What do you have? What else do you have for us?
When you run your stories, would you mind posting them?
Going forward, I will, but I don't have them ready right now.
And I'm still learning as well. I just, you know, pulling up the stories and let's see here.
We'll be more prepared. We'll be more prepared next week. Yeah, sorry about that.
I mean, it's not a matter of being more prepared. This is just new. So, yeah. How about you like this story though?
All right, hit me.
It'll be coming up about.
Got
here.
It.
Here. Let's see here. Those Japanese, I mean, it's official. Japan granted a safety certificate to a flying car for the very first time.
Finally, the future is here, man.
Yeah.
And this actually looks pretty badass.
It looks more like a military. Like it looks like it has like missiles and machine guns somewhere on it.
It looks like something out of a Japanese anime movie, like a Gundam or fuck, I don't know. I'm not super familiar. Like maybe Akira or something. It just, yeah. I mean, definitely looks military ish.
See here. And a moment. The first time it says here, SkyDrive, the Tokyo-based startup developing an EVolt flying car concept revealed that it has been granted a safety certificate by Japan's Ministry of Land, Infrastructure, Transport, and Tourism. A press statement says, SkyDrive first revealed its early flying car prototype to the world in 2018 before it went on to successfully conduct its first piloted test flight earlier last year. I wonder if we can find some video on this.
Yeah, for sure.
See here.
I want to see this. Oh, there is video down if you scroll down.
The latest incarnation of the SkyDrive drone-like flying car is called the SDO3. It uses 8 propellers, 2 at either end, and it reaches a top speed of 30 miles or 48 kilometers for trips up to 10 minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. The safety certificate from Japan. Wait, is that popping up now?
What's that?
The safety certificate from Japan's MLIT confirms the design, structure, strength, and performance meets necessary safety and environmental requirements. SkyDrive explains in its statement, the company says it's very pleased to have been awarded the certification, and added it will continue to work in close partnership with the government and MLIT to complete its development of a wholly safe and reliable flying car. I would be terrified flying cars. I think I see a video of it as well.
Yeah, watch the video. It won't make you feel any better either.
Flying cars you see in a science fiction movie.
Oops, my bad. Has completed. Yeah, it won't make me feel any better.
Well, it shows. I think it's not. It's like a simulation, but. You know, yeah, I mean, flying, you know, roads are what keep us in line, but up in the sky, there are no roads per se. So, I don't know.
I'm looking at this, the flying car right here.
Yeah.
And the pilot of that car is never too far away from being beheaded. He's got four blades, right? There's no way in hell.
Well, this is just a version 1.0.
Yeah. But, like, it's one of those things where, like, you know, that's one of those, you know, that low-hanging fruit. Like, what could possibly go wrong here?
Yeah, don't ask.
Huh?
He said, don't ask.
Yeah. I mean, so you looked at that, you know, the white car. The white one, and you didn't think, man, he's got four blades. Possibly go wrong.
You know, from this side, from the initial picture, it's not an up close picture. It's just, and it shows this thing from a profile of it. And to be honest, I don't really see the blades from here. It wasn't until I, you know, played the video and seen it more up close.
Yeah, it's not readily apparent.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, like, the design of it. It looks like Robotech. That's what I was trying to think of.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you give it in terms of just does it look cool?
I think it looks cool. I'd give it a 8.
8.5, 9 here, easily.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been wanting my flying car since, I don't know, the Jetsons.
Exactly.
And thankfully, the Japanese are bringing us one step closer.
By 2025, they said, right?
But I would hate to see some of the, you know, the test dummy outtakes, so to speak.
Oh, that could be awesome.
Not if you want to, you know, strap into one of these things and not be, you know, terrified.
Right.
like, you know, the rocket that Jeff Bezos and Richard What's-His-Face sent to space a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we eventually saw them, the billionaires themselves, get in it. But I'd be interested also in seeing, you know, once again, the outtake footage of the, you know,
what I want to see on this would be more of a closed cockpit than an open cockpit.
Yeah. And part of me says, this is all so ridiculous as long as it's, you know, one person.
Yeah.
I mean.
And that's actually the great point is there's no utility to this yet. It's just getting one person from one point to another. As long as it's within like 10 minutes. So,
yeah.
You're right. It needs to be able to carry a minimum of 4 people and some groceries or something.
I mean, 4 people, I would say like a minimum of 2 people with some groceries.
Okay, a minimum of 2, but preferably 4. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool, though. The future's finally here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, part of me says, like, the flying cars part of this future does sound pretty cool, but I'm not so sure if I'm sold on this whole metaverse from Facebook.
Metaverse. Yes. Yeah, I think I told you. I don't know if we recorded it or not, but I just do not see the logic in taking a name that is so well-known and changing it. Although you know what? I say that, and I think I've seen a story where it's not really... It's kind of like how Google created Alphabet. And Google is still Google, but Alphabet is like the parent company. I think I might have seen somewhere that Meta is just going to be a parent company, but that Facebook is going to still exist. I want to say I've seen that somewhere, so but I could be wrong.
It's going to be folded into a universe of other software and hardware applications.
Okay.
It won't be Facebook and all this other stuff. It'll be Facebook as an element of their larger portfolio of offerings.
That makes more sense to me.
But the other thing is, like, I can see why they would get rid of the name Facebook, because, like, I mean, Facebook is like, you know, right? It'd be like the reason you don't see any people naming their children Adolf anymore.
Yeah, you did mention that before. But do people know what Meta means?
Meta?
Do you think your average person even understands what Meta means?
I mean, I don't think the average person knows, but I'm not necessarily sure that we do either. But maybe we could. So that I do, maybe we'll
Well, Meta is just that. Meta is just information about other information.
It's like the information.
Yeah, it's information that describes other information. That's Meta. That's metadata. Meta is short, but it's just you know, and it comes out of, you know, programming and technology and stuff like that. I just don't know how many. I don't know, maybe just Meta sounds cool, and maybe if they've got a cool graphic to go with it, that's all they need. I don't know.
I mean, they do have a graphic to go with it, but it just seemed like the infinity sign, but blue.
Hmm. Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm not the billionaire. They're the ones, obviously, they know something about what they're doing, so... I still hate social media, so.
But this is the thing, something that dawned on me earlier today.
What's that?
Facebook, like Mark Zuckerberg, he didn't set out to create Facebook. Facebook kind of, you know, the market kind of called for Facebook, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the movie, I think the social network?
Social Network.
I think that's a pretty accurate story of how they came to be. I mean, for years you had to have a college email address just to get an account. You know, it was really a very college-centric thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would say that Facebook 1.0 happened totally organically. If not totally organically, largely organically.
Yeah.
Whereas this whole Meta thing is, they're like, okay, we are now the established leaders, and we're leading you to the next, you know, universe. And I don't... Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, my computer just stopped responding. But, yeah, I don't believe that folks have the chops to accurately see the future of computing and social networking.
Did you send
that's,
me?
That's my opinion.
Did you send me? I think it was you that sent me that video about someone pointing out how the metaverse is a thing from a Neal Stephenson novel. Was that you?
Yeah, oh yeah, I did send you that.
Yeah, that's
how basically in the book. I think the book was called Snow Crash.
Yes, you're right.
It was set in a dystopian future where there's no longer a nation state, but basically everything is this corporatized. He described it as hellscape.
Yes.
Or basically, America was one large strip mall from sea to shining sea. And Yeah, the escape from this was to go into the metaverse, but in short order, the metaverse had the same hierarchies and the petty grievances as the real world they were trying to escape. And so the question was, how apt was that for a name?
And you know, I mean, Facebook bought Oculus Rift, which is a virtual reality headset. They bought that, then that, you know, that's probably going to be one of the divisions of Meta.
But like, and during Facebook 1.0, how much stuff did you go out and buy? Zero.
No, I understand. Yeah.
I don't think people like their Facebook so much that they're gonna be like, yeah, I need the metaverse. I need to go out and spend $300 for some Oculus.
Well, people they rebranded. I mean, my brother bought a virtual reality headset. They're just they haven't got it right yet. Once they get virtual reality nailed down, if they ever do, it'll sell itself.
You think so? I mean, but what do you think getting, what are they getting wrong right now? What are they missing?
I just don't think they can, I've only used one once, and so, and I was pretty damn impressed with it, but it just still has, I think the limitations right now is still, in order to have one that is realistic, that looks realistic when you're wearing it, you have to have it, the computing power, you can't fit that computing power into a headset. You have to have cables that connect that headset to a big beefy machine that can render everything to create a realistic environment. And maybe once that computing power can be self-contained on the headset and you don't need to have it tethered to a big expensive machine, maybe that'll be what it needs. But that's just a guess. All right, and we're back after some more technical difficulties. I'm going to take that as a sign from the technology gods to wrap it up.
Those guys.
I know, man. We're going to have to have a come to Jesus moment with them. I got us another good Skullduggar story for us. I think you'll get a kick out of this. I think you'll get a kick out of this joke. Because you remember the story I did, I guess it was probably 2 weeks ago, where the Indian guy murdered his wife with, he failed to murder her the first time because he just used a viper, I think.
Never sent a viper to do a cobra's job.
Yeah, so... Going back to India, a drunk man dies after biting a venomous baby snake in an apparent revenge attack. That's right.
Who was getting the revenge?
He was getting revenge on the snake. Check this out. A man in India has died after chewing on a baby snake in an apparent revenge attack on the reptile. According to the Times of India, Rama Mato, 65, captured and bit a baby viper in retaliation for an earlier attack outside his home in the village of Madhoda in the Nalanda district of Bihar. Mato, who was allegedly under the influence of alcohol at the time, was sitting out the front of his house on Sunday when the baby snake reportedly bit him on the leg. He eventually managed to capture the viper and, in a surprising twist, decided to enact his own unique form of vengeance on the animal, reported India TV. In a statement issued to police and reported by the news outlet, Mato's family said he was bitten more than 10 times on the face while chewing the snake. He eventually discarded the reptile in a nearby tree. Despite his family urging him to go to the hospital and seek treatment, he refused and went to sleep, believing the snake's bite carried no venom due to its age. Mato went to bed and was found dead on Monday morning. The official cause of death has not yet been recorded. So.
I think the official cause of death would be just being stupid.
I would love for a coroner to put that down as an official cause of death sometime, wouldn't you?
I didn't know that, like, snakes would just, like, roll up on you and just bite you.
Yeah, I know, right?
I thought, like, you know, a snake would bite you, like, if you cornered it, like, yeah, now it's time to, you're just chilling and just rolls up on you and just bite you. Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess there's possibly, maybe, you know, aggressive species of snakes, maybe. I don't know. But let's also not forget that he was under the influence of alcohol at the time as well. So maybe he was provoking the thing.
All right, well.
I don't know.
Did the baby snake survive his chewing?
I don't know.
Baby snake.
And on that note, I think we better get out of here.
Not as cute that way, is it?
Not quite. All right, Joe. Hey, what you doing this weekend?
I know I'm going to be end up being awesome.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to be doing some more research on IT stuff.
Yeah. There you go, man. Let me know if I can help out in any way.
I will do.
Yeah. That's cool. That's awesome, dude. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. It's going to depend on the weather. The weather's been pretty nice lately. But we'll see. I don't know what the forecast has, but I am in the process of still packing up my office. I've been my buddy was up last weekend, and so I packed some boxes, and he's already taken them to Florida and got them in storage. So I mean, it's happening now. It's real. So I still got to just go through some office stuff and sort and pack, and I need to make it up and see the folks. It's been a while since I've been up there, so yeah.
Other really quick aside.
Sure.
Is it at all lost on you that we're already talking in November?
It is not, man. I know what you're saying. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, there's a Pink Floyd song called Time off of the Dark Side of the Moon album that really nails it. I won't it's not necessarily a happy feel good song, so I won't play it, but
there's a lot of audio I'm missing.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to let's end it here. Strike number 2, but we'll try again next week. Everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Take care. It's just me, myself, and I.
just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. I squeak the plug too tight. Please, oh please, let plug to be himself, not what you read or write. Right is wrong when hype is written on the soul, they lie that. Style is surely our own thing, not the false disguise of showbiz. They lie solely from the soul, and this fact I can't deny. Strictly from the Dan called Stucky, and from me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Think they diss my person by stating I'm darkly packed. I know this, so I point at Q-Tip and he states,
black is black.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, shovel chestnuts in my path. Just keep on up with the nuts so I don't get an aftermath. But if I do, I'll calmly punch them in the fourth day of July. Cause they try to mess with third degree, that's me, myself, and I. Nah. Just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I.